This morning I would have us consider the importance of self-examination, particularly as we come to remember the Lord around the table this morning. The importance of self-examination is pressed upon us by the Apostle Paul from his words to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 26 to 32, where he says, once again, if you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians 11, "For as often as you do eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." So Paul writes in concern to the Corinthian church because there was some bad behavior going on there that he was seeking to correct. Take notice of verse 28 and the exhortation to examine himself. That is self-examination. And that's what we want to take a look at this morning. This self-examination on all of our parts is a requirement, according to Paul, to eat that bread and to drink that cup at the Lord's table. And we must take this admonition seriously, for the consequences of failing to do so are very serious, aren't they? In verse 29 to 32, Paul says, "He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly, and many sleep," that is, have died physically. And he says, "If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged," notice, "we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Who does the Lord chasten? He chastens only his own children, right? So these are believers that Paul is writing to who are not doing so good around the Lord's table. And some have gotten are sick, they're weak, some have even died because they have participated in what was supposed to be the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. And we'll talk about that when we get back into this verse. So the consequences are very serious and require, obviously, more time than we have this morning to study them out. Maybe another sermon another time, the consequences of failing to examine ourselves. But I would have you to note this morning the seriousness of self-examination at the communion table. Actually, the English word examine occurs only five times in our Bible. In the whole Bible, only five times. When you add all the other forms, like the past tense and so on, it occurs 11 times. And that's not so many in consideration of the entire Bible. The English word examine translates a number of Hebrew and Greek words. There are many. And out of the five places where we see the word examine, the English word, there are three of significant interest for us this morning. And so very briefly, we'll take a look at these three and see if we can encourage ourselves about examination in the eyes of the Lord. So the first one, and you might want to just keep your finger here in 1 Corinthians, but the first one is in Psalm 26, verse 2. In Psalm 26, verse 2. You can see, verse 2 says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins, Reins is the Hebrew word that's translated normally kidneys. Has to do with the center of emotions and feelings, my reins and my heart, right? And you'll notice in that one verse you have three synonymous terms: examine, prove, and try. All mean similar things, to test and to prove and to approve, to examine. And so you get kind of walloped right there with those three synonymous terms. But you'll notice in the psalm that David is asking the Lord to examine him. Right? Isn't that what he says? Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my reins and my heart. This is a very personal psalm and personal contact between David and the Lord himself. What's interesting is in Psalm 26, David is testifying to his separation from the world and his separation unto God, and is giving testimony concerning his lifestyle and his habits as being godly and righteous before the Lord. All of that is built upon his trust in the Lord. Look at verse 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. I shall not waver. He's talking about having steady footing, being steadfast. And then David calls upon God to examine him, to prove and to approve the things that he is doing as he testifies in the rest of the psalm. Very interesting. The Hebrew word is bakan, and has the idea of proving or testing, trying something to make sure that it's genuine, true, and right. So this is a personal thing that we read here in Psalm 26, verse 2. It's between David, the psalmist, and the Lord. And David is asking the Lord to examine him. He calls upon God to test and to try him and prove that he is who he testifies himself to be. That's an interesting thought and an interesting approach to examination. As David has said in the psalm, he has acted in his integrity, in righteousness. He's not claiming sinlessness, but he is confessing that he has acted in righteousness. He's done the right things. Look at verse 4. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Those such things, David confesses that this is his lifestyle and his habits. He's separated from the world, separated unto God. He's not being proud here. I don't think there's any kind of self-centeredness in all of this. He's just telling the way it is. And may I submit to you that when you are sure that you have conducted your life in righteousness, godliness, and holiness, you can confidently ask the Lord to prove you, to examine you, not with any pride or self-righteousness, but in honesty and humility and faith in the goodness and justice of God, that he will approve that which you have been doing. If, however, you have unconfessed sin in your life, then we often hesitate to come before God for his judgment and his examination, don't we? Why? Because we know we've done wrong, and we know what God is going to say, so we don't come to him and say, hey, Lord, examine my life and just prove me and try me in all of these things. Because we know what he's going to say if we have done that which is wrong. So what do we do? What do we need to do in occasions such as that? We need to confess our sins before God and accept his cleansing and his forgiveness. And then try by faith and trust in him to live in the way that pleases God. David wants to be known as one who trusts God and lives for the Lord. Look at the last verse, verse 12. He says, 11 and 12, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. Right? He's level. He's not, you know, on a on an angle or off level. He's standing on a level place. My foot standeth in an even place, and in the congregation will I bless the Lord. And in that confidence, he asks the Lord to prove him, to examine him, try his reins in his heart. And that will, that examination will approve David in the eyes of the Lord because of the things that he has done. Very interesting. As a personal contact that we all have with the Lord God. So we want to have that same kind of personal connection with God, especially in the examination of our lives. Examination on a personal level is important for our testimony for the Lord Jesus in the world that is around us. We don't want to give a false testimony or live a life that is false. We want it to be true before the Lord. And so we can do our best to live that way and be good witnesses for the Lord Jesus, live our lives as we ought to, and then ask the Lord to prove that. Examine us, prove us, try me to make sure that what I am doing is right in the eyes of the Lord. That's always a good thing to do, right? My father used to say it's always a good thing for self to give self a talking to every once in a while. And to examine, have the Lord examine our hearts and our kidneys, our reins is so very important as an ongoing contact that we have in our lives. Secondly, and I'm moving along rather quickly here this morning. Secondly, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Second Corinthians 13 and verse 5, where Paul writes this, again, to the Corinthian church. Examine who? Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? The word reprobates means unapproved. So here, as we saw in Psalm 26, it was a personal thing between the psalmist and the Lord God, and we all can act on that level as well. Here, Paul, writing to the local church in Corinth, says, examine yourselves, right? It's not having the Lord examine us, but we examine ourselves, whether that's between each other of us, but it's a local church congregation type of context and scenario. Examine yourselves. Prove your own selves, he says. Now, you know that the pronoun your is second person plural, right? So second person plural, he's talking to all those who are in the church in Corinth. This is something that you need to do, he is saying to them. It's a imperative, a command. Paul is speaking to the members of the congregation of the church as a body of believers, and together he exhorts them and commands them to examine and prove themselves. Possibly to prove and approve themselves amongst each other within that local congregation. And you also, I know, want to know this, that both of those verbs, examine and prove, are present active imperatives. Present tense means continuous action. And the active voice means that the subject is to do the action. And the imperative is that's a command. And so this is something that we are to continuously do within the congregation of the local church. But we ask the question, well, examine yourselves in regard to what? Well, Paul says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, right? Examine yourselves, test yourselves, prove yourselves to make sure that you are in this thing called the faith. The faith is a unique term within the New Testament. It occurs 43 times in our New Testament. That's interesting. That would be a good Bible study sometime to do if you're looking for a word study or something like that on a Sunday afternoon. Look up the faith and just examine the references and the words that are associated with that. I'll just give you two this morning for time's sake. In Colossians 2, 6 and 7, we read this. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Right? So being in the faith, established in the faith, is kind of the basis for walking with the Lord. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You've been established in the faith, whatever that is, as you have been taught, and abound in it in thanksgiving. And then, of course, for me, the key understanding for the faith is Jude 3. Jude 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. The faith. Why is the faith an important term? And what does it mean? Essentially, the faith is that body of doctrine that we glean from the scriptures. The truth, if you want, that's been put together in this thing titled the faith. Paul would write to Timothy and talk about sound doctrine. And that would be, I think, synonymous with the faith. Why is the faith important in examining ourselves, whether we're in the faith? Well, because it's too easy to forget sound doctrine. It's too easy when you leave the scriptures to fall into false doctrine and to false teaching. And there is a whole whack of that around in the world today. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, Apostle Paul writing to Timothy says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And it's not just departing it to go nowhere or do nothing. He says they will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. And today in our age in which we live, it's imperative that we give ourselves to a constant examination of our lives as a congregation, as a local church, to make sure that we are in the faith as we ought to be. And for 25 years, we've been trying to keep that as a standard for Berean Baptist Church. We stand upon the Word of God, all the sound doctrines from the Word of God. And that is where we want to place our stand. And from that, then, we inform and engage in our walk with the Lord based upon His truth. There's much false teaching and error out there, and too many people are following it without any kind of testing or examining of the doctrines, and people are being led away with the error. I mentioned at a prayer meeting on Wednesday, I was listening to a fellow who was talking about the rapture. I don't know who this man is. He never gave his name, and it wasn't listed on the video, but he was talking about the alignment of the planets, all in a line on the same side of the sun coming this month. And so he was looking at all the constellations, you know, Virgo and all of the other things that are up there, and looking at the planets that are in certain constellations and drawing conclusions out of all of that. He said that when the church started on the day of Pentecost, almost 2,000 years ago, and he believed that the church would be raptured on the day of Pentecost this year. And he even named a date as when this would take place. He said June 15 is when the rapture is going to take place, according to all of his calculations and the lineup of the planets and the constellations. I think he forgot about that verse that says, no man knows the day or the hour when the Lord's going to come. And he was adamant that this was all right because he had calculated out all the proper things for the day of Pentecost. And I didn't listen too much of it after that. And that's all around us. I mean, that's one little thing. And while I was watching that video, there was a whole list of others that were all talking about the return of Christ to rapture the church and how to figure that out. So there's much teaching and error all around us today. Let us be sure that we know and hold to the sound doctrines of the Word of God. The faith is essential for us in our own walk with the Lord and for our lives as a local church and to please the Lord. Because this is what he said. We believe it. We want to do it. And that will be pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. So let us be sure that we hold to the sound doctrines of Scripture, examine them, make sure that we're in the faith, and let us stake our flag there and stand strong and steadfast in that place. All right, so 2 Corinthians 13 is for the local church. That's all of us together. Examine yourselves, speaking to each one of us. The third place, important place, where we find the word examine is back at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. Excuse me. What was that reference? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, which says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." So in Psalm 26, it was very personal. Lord, you examine me, try me, improve me. In 2 Corinthians 13, it's the congregation at large. And of course, the congregation is made up of all of us, right? Individuals. And so we are to examine ourselves before that we are in the faith. And here in 1 Corinthians 11, it's more individualized once again. But rather than, Lord, you examine me, Paul says, let a man examine himself. And as he does so, or after he does so, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The word examine here is the Greek word dokimazo. It translates into English by a number of English words, but the basic meaning of the Greek word is to test, to examine, to prove. One lexicon had the idea of scrutinize, to see whether a thing was genuine or not, as one would do with metals or pottery, make sure there's no cracks in the thing. To recognize as genuine after examination, to approve or to deem worthy. That's the idea of examine, to make sure that it's genuine, to approve that which is examined. And so here Paul, in this passage, calls to a man or to any person, to a woman at the Lord's table, to examine himself or herself before partaking of the bread and cup. Now, he doesn't say you examine yourself and then if you find something wrong that you don't participate. He says you examine yourself to make sure that what you are doing is right here at the Lord's table, and then you can participate. So let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. The point is to examine or prove oneself to be able to eat the bread and drink the cup. And so we ask the question, what's this examination then all about? What are we to examine ourselves? Well, what's the issue that Paul is dealing with here in the Corinthian church? Again, if you want to just glance once again at verses 26 down to 29, the issue here that Paul is dealing with is eating and drinking unworthily, right? Eating and drinking unworthily. The consequences are serious, and you need to be aware of them. Unworthily is the Greek word anaxios. Anaxios, it only occurs two times in the Bible. Both places are right here in this chapter. It basically means, anaxios basically means irreverently. So unworthily means irreverently, or we might expand that to say it's not fit or it's not meet. If you're eating and drinking unworthily, then you're doing so in a manner that is not fit for what the table is supposed to be all about. It's not appropriate, right? And so Paul says, you examine yourselves. Make sure that you're not eating unworthily, that what you are doing at the table is right, it's fit, it's appropriate for what the table is all about. Vine's dictionary was very interesting as it defined this word unworthily. They write, unworthily is treating it, that is the bread and the cup, as a common meal. Right? Treating the communion table as a common meal, the bread and cup as common things, not apprehending their solemn symbolic import. So what's that all about? Well, a little bit earlier, and we read it for scripture this morning, Paul expressed his displeasure at their fellowship around the table at this point in time. Look at verse 20 again. He said, when ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, understand that that's why they were gathering, to have the Lord's Supper, but what they were actually doing was not fit for the Lord's Supper. He says, you come together, but it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. In eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry and another is drunken. A little bit too much of the wine there at the table. What, he says, have you not houses to eat or to drink in, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So apparently in the Corinthian church, when they were coming together to remember the Lord around the table, they had apparently no reverent regard for the Lord's table. They were just considering this as just another banquet table that they could eat and drink at without any thought as to what this table represented or what it was all about. They approached it as a common meal. Some were selfish and gluttonous as they ate. Some were drunk because they just could not put the cups down. And that is not at all what the remembrance table is. The remembrance table is a time to remember the Lord Jesus, what he has done for us on the cross. And then if we understand the whole idea of remember me, it is then to commit ourselves to walking in a manner that's going to be pleasing to the Lord and living in a way that will honor and glorify his name. Committed to doing those things is part of the idea of remembering the Lord. And so Paul explained what the true communion table was all about in verses 23 down through 25. He goes back historically to what Jesus did on the night that he was betrayed at the Last Supper, when he took the bread and he took the cup and explained to his disciples what these things were all about. And as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do it in remembrance of me. Right? This is my body, he said, concerning the bread. It's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The cup is the New Testament in my blood. And as often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me. So the bread and the cup are serious symbols representing the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. And apparently in Corinth, they didn't care anything about that. Didn't come to mind at all. They were just gorging themselves and getting drunk at the table. And Paul says, when you come together into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. That's not what the Lord's table is all about. And he rebukes them and says, I don't praise you in any of this, because you have made the table, come to the table in an unworthy manner. You have not appreciated what the table's about. You have not come in a fit manner for what the table represents. So Paul says, you examine yourself. Examine yourselves, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Right? We examine ourselves to make sure that we are not eating and drinking unworthily That is, without any regard, proper regard to what the bread and the cup are all about. When we examine ourselves before eating and drinking the emblems of Christ's body and blood, we are to make sure that we are approaching the table in that reverent and godly manner that fully understands what the bread and the cup is all about, and to give due reverence to the table as well as to the Lord Jesus, who is here. This is his table, which we are remembering him. The Lord's table, or the Lord's Supper, as some like to call it, is a serious situation. It's serious. Consequences are serious if we approach this table in an unworthy manner. The ordinance was established by the Lord Jesus on the night that he was betrayed at the Last Supper. It is observed by the local church regularly. Paul says in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup." As often for us is the first Sunday of the month, once a month, regularly. And so we as a local church remember the Lord around the table at that time. And this is for believers in Jesus Christ to remember the Lord and what he has done for us. This is a, even though it's short time, it doesn't take a long time to do that, especially when you have a small congregation. But this is a godly, holy exercise of our faith and obedience to the Word of God. And we need to approach the table with such serious regard as that. So examination is important on a personal level, asking the Lord to examine me so that my lifestyle and my conduct and my habits are in keeping with that which is pleasing to the Lord. And that's something we all need to do on an ongoing basis. Secondly, examining ourselves that we are in the faith. That's a local church congregation responsibility that we are to be continuously doing, making sure that we have the right sound doctrines and that we are in the faith. That's important as well. And thirdly, examining ourselves as we approach the Lord's table. So as a congregation, but individually, making sure that we are approaching the table with due regard and serious regard and reverence for the Lord Jesus. Examination is to prove that we are ready to participate. And so let us do so this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, the opportunity to dig into it a little bit this morning, to examine some of these things. We certainly, on a personal level, want you to examine our lives always. Make sure that what we are doing is right in your sight. As a local church and congregation, we want to make sure that we are in the faith. We need to examine ourselves concerning that. And then to examine ourselves as individuals within the congregation as we approach the table to make sure that we are not coming to this table in an unworthy manner. Help us always to appreciate and to understand the importance of the Lord's table to the life of our church and to our lives as individual Christians as well. Bless your word to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.